We are prophets of a future not our own. I love that quote. It speaks to me because it best describes us. I do believe that we are prophets. We are pioneers creating a future that will far surpass us. That we are creating the church for the future, not just for ourselves, but for the next generation. I'm so excited that, again, we are coming together to give towards our Christmas offering, December 3rd, to create a better future, not just for ourselves, but for the future generations to come. This year, we're going to be collecting $50,000, $20,000, which will go towards this back space that I'm actually in right now. This is connected to the Hope Center, and we want to use this space as the next generation's multi-use space. This will allow us to do more ministry and to impact the next generation in a tangible and a practical way, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. $30,000 of that will go towards launching our Mosaic Metro campus in 2018. I am so excited about that because we'll be able to create a community in the metro area that will become an epicenter of hope for the city. And as always, connected to our Christmas offering, we are going to help provide practical needs locally and globally. So locally, we are partnering with Winding Springs Elementary. They're our neighbors, and we'll be collecting blankets and winter wear for them. Globally, we'll be partnering with House Upon a Rock Ministries in the Dominican Republic. We are going to be collecting 100 gift boxes for them to send to their students there and to bless them for Christmas. It is so easy for us to get caught up in the past, isn't it? But not us. We need to be people who create the future. We need to be people who've reconciled our past and we engage the present to create a better future, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. And so I want you to think about, I want you to pray about, and I want you to give sacrificially to create a future that's bigger than you, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than even us. A future for the next generation. It doesn't matter what amount. It does not matter what amount. But I don't want you to be on the bench on this. I want you to be plugged in, engaged, and I want you to give towards raising $50,000 to create a future that's not our own. Love you guys.
Hello, hello. How are you guys? Awesome, awesome. Hey, can we make some noise for those of us, part of us who are joining us online? Can we do that? Hey! We love you and your jammies. We do. And those of you who are joining us from globally, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to be in the room this morning, because this weekend, and those of you who are guests here, let you know, I'm Naeem, one of the pastors here, and if you haven't been with us for the past several weeks, we've been actually in a conversation that's kind of concluding this morning. We're in a series called Glow, and we're actually this weekend taking up an offering that we've been talking about. Obviously, the video talked about it at all as well. And so what I want to do as we conclude, at the end, we're going to, you know, participate, and those of you who plan to give, thank you so much. Those of you who've been praying about it, you've already given online. I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you. But this morning, I want to talk about why we just love to give. I don't know if you know this, but you love to give. You do. You're like, I don't know. Yes, you do. You love to give to whatever you love to give to. But you love to give. For example, like, have you ever given way in traffic? Anybody done that? Okay, not. All right. Well, sir, you need counseling. Okay, anyways, but just joking. Don't know who you are, but love you. Okay. But We do. I mean, I'm not talking about this season, because this season is Christmas season. We got shopping to do. It's all, you know, it's every person to themselves, right? But on other occasions, on other seasons, we like it when we give people, you know, right of way, or we let them in traffic, right? Unless you totally do the ignore thing, right? Have you ever done that? You're like, I don't see you. I don't see you. I'm going to crank up my Jesus music a little bit more. I don't see you. Yeah, right. But when we do let them in, or when we do pay for lunch, or when we do something and we give in any capacity, if we give her our time, we just pay attention to someone and they're talking about stuff and you're like, oh my gosh, I am caring. You, when you do that, do you know your soul makes a sound? It sounds like this. It does. It does. It doesn't matter who you are. Your soul makes a sound. You're like, You like it. You like it. You like it. If you do something nice for someone else, if you give, it has not made their day. It has made your day. That's the reality of it. The reason why I know this is because the opposite is also true. You love giving, but you hate it when people take from you. You do. You just hate it. I don't mind giving you my time, but dude, don't take up my time. Have you ever been in a conversation? You're like, shut up already. Have you? Or is it just me? Right, you have. You've been in a meeting. You're like, oh my gosh. What are we talking about? Why are we doing this? I'm going to get old and die here, right, in this conversation. Like, he's not going to stop. Mom, I have to go. You know, like stop. Stop. Right? Have you ever met someone that take from your energy? They are vampires, friends. They just suck the life out of you. Right? Like, I mean, you're having a great day. It's all good. You're like, I worked out. I feel good. I can rule the world. And then you meet someone or you talk to someone and they just suck. They take from you. You're like, oh, I don't like that. Dude, you just took from me. If someone is late, you don't like it because it took your time. You don't mind paying for someone, you know, for someone to do something, but you hate it when the government takes from you. Anybody? Right? You're like, I don't like, no, I just want to give, but don't take everything. Leave me something. You hate it because why? You love giving. You hate it when people take it. That's just the truth of the matter. So this morning, what I want to do is that I want you to continue to be people who give. People who give. Now, I just want to tell you right up front. If you're watching, you know this. We have not hid this. We are in this is a giving morning. Like, we are trying to raise, you know, $50,000. So at the end, we're going to talk about that. But right now, I just want to encourage you to just lean into being a giver. So whatever cause you are, whatever is in your heart to give towards, maybe it's from your time, maybe it's your energy, maybe it's your resources or talent, things like that. Whatever it is, don't stop being a person who gives. I put a quote out there on Twitter or something, and I wrote down, I said, give yourself to beauty and don't lose yourself to fear. Right? Give yourself to beauty so you won't lose yourself to fear. And, you know, I showed it to my wife. I was like, what do you think? Because I want approval. And she's like, she goes like, yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good. Good. I was like, that's it? It's good? She's like, yeah, it sounds cool. It sounds beautiful, yeah. And then she said, she's like, but I don't know what it means. You know, like, I'm like, okay, first of all, you don't understand an artist's mind and soul, okay? And quotes don't have to mean anything. They have to sound cool. Like, right? Is that true? Someone write that down. But it's true. It's true. But I actually have to explain it. I was like, well, let me explain it to you. And she's like, okay. And if you're married, you know that look, right? All right, sure. I'm not even listening, but okay, whatever. But So I explained it to her. I said, because if we give ourselves to create beauty, if we give ourselves to do the things we really want to do, and we give ourselves to create the life we want to give, if we give ourselves to become the person we want to be, then we won't lose ourselves to fear and anxiety and worry and doubt in our lives. Because if you give yourself over to fear and worry and doubt and whatever, you will actually lose yourself. You'll lose who you are. But if you choose to give yourself to the things that you want to give to and the things that you want to create, then you give yourself to beauty, and so you don't lose yourself to fear. Right? Yeah, some of you got like, I still don't get it. That's so great. Thank you. But that's the big idea. It's true in our lives. So I want you to be a giver. And here's why. We started the conversation, this series, and we had this big idea. The launching point for our conversation was Jesus making a statement. He was calling us to something higher. He said something to our souls. He said, you are the what? Light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. He says, you are the light of the world. He said, you have the potential to be a city on a hilltop, which basically said is that you have the potential to become not just you, you yourself have the potential to become a city, a people. That if you and I become us, we become a city, and that city can be a city of light, and that could brighten up the whole world. And so we realize that God really truly uses broken people to brighten up this world. I mean, we are all testaments of that. We understand that. We believe that. And so God does that. So that was the conversation, that God uses us to do that. And so the next week, we began talking about Isaiah 61 and how God says, hey, I've anointed you to do certain things. So let me just read this passage for you. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it. If not, we'll put it on the screens for you. This is Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has, help me out, has what? Anointed me, yes, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Now, we talked about each of these phrases, and this morning, this phrase is what we are looking at right now, he says here, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Now, isn't that beautiful? You have no idea what it means, but it's beautiful. You're like, yes, I want to do that. The whole garment oil thing. Yeah, crown, oily crown thing. I don't know. I want to do that. No, this is basically saying that God has anointed us to be people. He's wired us up in our souls to be people who give, to bestow on people, to exchange despair and give people joy, to help people out, to create an environment for them. And so I don't know what you are in, you know, what stirs your heart. Maybe it's like, hey, you know, young kids, I mean, that's my thing, man. I mean, foster, you know, the whole idea of foster kids, maybe that's my thing. Hey, you know, globally, I'm focused on this, or locally, I want to do this, or I just want to be a help, or hey, I want to give myself and my resources so people can find the hope in Jesus. I mean, if that's your thing, I want to say that's what you've been wired up to. In fact, you've been anointed to do. So continue to do that. Don't let anxiety, fear, doubt, and even the season of your life right now. I mean, you might be in college right now. And you're like, man, I am just trying to figure out my major. That's all I'm trying to do. Well, hey, it's more than that. It's more than that. By the way, you will not even use it, right? Can we have any, right? Hello. Oh, my gosh. What you will have is so much debt. It's good. No. I mean, you will. But you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So what does that look like? What does that mean? right? What does that mean to not allow ourselves, because of our season of life, or because of our age or stage in life, and to not lose ourselves to other things, but to really lean into who we are and what we want to do? And that's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require us actually changing the way we think about who we are. So I want to take you to a story. It's a story that if you grew up in church, you've probably heard. This is the story of Zacchaeus. Anybody know that story? Zacchaeus? Anybody grew up with a song of Zacchaeus? I didn't grow up with that, but I've heard it. Okay? It goes like this, I think. It goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and wee little man was the sycamore tree, and see what he could see. I feel like river dancing to that, right? Okay, anyways, but you Christians. Anyway, so I don't know what you thought. I don't know, but let me clarify some heresy. Okay, so let's just jump into Luke chapter 19, and let's just start again, okay? So Luke chapter 19, here's how the story starts. Jesus, it says, entered Jericho and made his way through the town. First thing you need to know is Jericho was loaded. I mean, it was very rich. It was called Let me clarify here. It was called like the city of palms. It produced a lot of things. I mean, there were really, really well off people who lived there. So Jericho was a big deal. So he goes through town. You know that there are people there who are very, very rich. It's all about status. It's all about stuff. That's the context. So he goes through the town, and then it says there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich. Again, Luke here, who's writing this down, wants to make sure that you know it's a rich town, and the guy who's going to part in the story is very rich. By the way, the reason why he's rich is because he stole from his Jewish brothers and sisters. He's a tax collector, the chief of them, just to let you know. And he's writing all this down very intentionally for us, right? And then he says, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Now, could you imagine Luke's writing this, because Luke wrote this not at that moment. He wrote it years later. So he knows Zacchaeus now. Zacchaeus actually was a part of Jesus' ministry. Could you imagine if Zacchaeus opens up the book of Luke? He's like, yeah, man, I wrote a book. That's awesome. What is it? Yeah, let me read it. Seriously? You had to put my height in there? I'm too short? You have to do it? And he was like, hey, listen. The whole point of this, what is the point? Do you have to tell people I was short? Seriously? He's like, no. See, little guy, big heart, hey, just go with it. Okay, whatever, man. I'm sure these guys are having so much fun with this. So now Luke says he's too short. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Very, very important. Called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Really? Okay. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. We got some haters. So what did they say? They said, he has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. They're like, this guy has gone to the other side. This is not good. This is horrible. I can't believe he's doing that. Like right now in the world, or at least in the U.S., we're very divided, right? It's polarizing. You know people have taken sides, right? Right? You know. So whatever side you're on, could you imagine Jesus going to the other side and having dinner? You're like, no, my Jesus would not do that. Whew. Okay, anyways, let's see. So they said, I can't believe he's doing this. Verse 8, it says, Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood up before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated, this is awesome, right? You still can't get that out. And if I've cheated, really? You have. Okay, anyways. But if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Pretty cool. Four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. And then verse 10, kind of Jesus switches from Zacchaeus, and Luke writes this down. He wants us to know that then Jesus kind of talked about himself. And he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So if we were going to redeem this story, okay, first thing you need to know, you are not Zacchaeus in the story. You're not Luke. Who are you? You're supposed to be who? Anybody. Starts with J. Give me an E. Okay. Jesus. You're supposed to be Jesus. See, when I say this, some of you guys are like, oh God, no. Yes, that's the whole point. Why do you think we have the scriptures? Because that's why he says, you're the light of the world. And when he means you, he means in Greek, you. Like he means you. Like you. Not like me, you. So this story is about us walking through life, as there are so many Zacchaeuses around. So here's what you have to understand. First of all, Jesus teaches us how to give of ourselves. So the first thing Jesus did, if you noticed, is that Jesus gave of his attention. He gave of his attention. He was going through life. He sees a guy on a tree. Now most of us, and you've seen this in movies, if you want to hide out, you go up top, because no one looks up top. He is looking up top, and he notices attention. See, that's the hardest thing for us to do. Some of us, it's so much easier for us to give just money. But Jesus says, if you want to lean into who you're created to be, if you want to lean in to be a giver, I want you to understand, you have to give people attention. And what I mean is, you have to look them in the eye. You have to acknowledge that they're talking. Now, if you've ever been in a dating relationship, you've had this moment of like, look at me. I need your attention. If you're a parent, right? You want attention and your kids want attention. Attention is powerful. It's attention. I see you. And so Jesus goes, I see you. And then he calls him by what? By name, Zacchaeus. Very interesting. Do you know what the word Zacchaeus means? The pure one. Really? He's a chief tax collector. Could it be possible that Zacchaeus rarely heard his name? Because they would call him a lot of other names. Pure one? Pure in heart? Really? Really? Everybody else called him a notorious sinner. Why? Because sometimes in life, when we make choices, they begin to define us and they rename us. And so everybody else just calls us who we are. But the good thing with Jesus is that he calls us not who we are, but what we could be, and also what we were meant to be. And he goes, pure one. And people are going, oh my gosh, really? He goes, he gives them attention. How can we give people attention? How can we do that in our lives? Who in your life needs attention like that? It's really interesting too, is that you find like Jesus calls him by name, which is really profound, not because his name, but because also in like other passages of scripture, Jesus says like that in John, I think it is, he says that I'm the good shepherd and the sheep and my sheep know my voice and I call them by name. Jesus is doing something here. He's calling us to look at people in our lives and give them more attention than they even deserve. Hey, give attention. Second thing he does is, he does what? He gives him his time. I mean, he engages in him. He gives him his time. He says, hey, I need to come and I want you to invite me into your house. I want to have dinner with you. Jesus had about 3 years. He knew that he was going to be crucified. I mean, I don't know about you, but I obsess on my schedule. I'm like, I got all this stuff that I need to do and not enough what? Time. And I am sure other people, maybe even Luke, was like, dude, we don't have time for a dinner party at this guy's house. Like, you know the amount of people we need to heal. You're about to spend like 5 or 6 hours at this guy's house. For what? He goes, I gotta give of my time. It's so hard. Especially if you are like a go-getter, you are entrepreneur, you are in business, you're like, man, time is what? Money. In fact, it's more than money. Because money you can get back. Time you cannot. And Jesus says, hey, there are people in your life who need time. They need your time more than anything else from you. And when you give to them, don't let people take time from you, but if you give to that, you'll become more of who you are meant to be. He gave him time. Then he does what? Jesus gives out of his reputation. And what I mean by that is that he ignored the haters. He ignored the people who were calling him, you know, he's a notorious sinner. I mean, even Luke says he was a chief tax collector. And the reason why they did that is because some scholars write that there was a kind of a concept. It was called tax farming, and they basically these guys had figured out a way to not legally, but sort of legally, get more money from people who were paying taxes. It was kind of a scam. It was a thing, and the way you made money and the way you got really super rich, especially if you were a tax collector, is you skimmed off all the top of the taxes. I mean, a tax collector was just a job, but the reason why they got a lot more money is because they would do this tax farming thing. And this guy was the chief of it. He was not only the department head, but he was very, very wealthy. So he'd been doing this practice for a long time. So Jesus gives out of his reputation because what does he do? He actually goes and has dinner with him. He gives up. There's some people in your life, you're like, I'm not gonna give my name. I'm not gonna give my reputation to this. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna be associated with these kinds of people. Have you ever had that thought? You know, it was like, Thanksgiving was hard enough. You had to do that. But I am not giving out of my reputation. I'm not doing that. For some of you, you're like, you know what? I live in this Christian bubble. In college, you know, even as a young adult, you can be like, there's so many different kinds of tribes in our world. Like, you can go, oh, I don't want to be associated with that. I don't want to be associated with that. I don't know what people would think. I mean, some of you guys, you're part of Mosaic. You've been a part of Mosaic. But no one knows, right? You're like, no one can know that I go to church. I tell them I go to Mosaic. It's a gym. You're it's hard for you to give off out of that. It's hard. What does it look like to give out of your reputation? Have you ever thought, if I help this person, what would people say? That's exactly the conversation you need to have with God. Lastly, Jesus says that he gives out of his influence. He gives out of his influence. I mean, Jesus celebrated this milestone in one sense, or even this Kairos moment, this defining moment in Zacchaeus' life. He goes, oh my gosh, salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house, and this man is now truly the son of Abraham. You remember that? Now, why are you making such a big deal? Because if you're one of the disciples, right, who are there, who, you know, he's like, okay, Jesus is going, I'm going, there's probably a great hummus there, I'm going. Okay, so they show up. When Jesus makes a big deal about this, I'm sure there are people going, well, you know, I left my house. I left everything. And you're excited because he's giving back all the money he stole. I mean, he's giving back 4 times, but that's nice. I wish he would steal it from me. But anyways, why are you making such a big deal? Because Jesus was giving out of his resource, which was influence, which was praise, which was I have influence because I'm a rabbi. People following me. There are thousands of people following me, and I am going to I'm going to bless you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to publicly so support and celebrate your spiritual journey. This step, I'm going to do it. And then he says, the son of Abraham, which is again directly connected to the reality that Zacchaeus lived in. He wasn't called Zacchaeus, I'm sure. And if you were a tax collector back in that day, taxing from your Jewish brothers and sisters, again, you had the Roman Empire overseeing everything, occupying the land. You had Jewish people in authority. You had Jewish officials governing Jewish people. But this guy was stealing from Jewish people. The last thing he ever heard was, you are the true son of Abraham. No way. You are not a son of Abraham. You are not part of us. You are doing exactly what the Romans are doing. You might have been born Jewish, but you are a Roman pagan. You are not one of us. And then Jesus all of a sudden goes, oh my goodness. Number one, he says, salvation has come, which is loaded a word right there. And he has become a true son of Abraham. He's basically saying, I'm going to give up my reputation. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to be so extravagant in my praise. He is really a son of Abraham. And then he says salvation, which is interesting because here the word salvation does apply this freedom that has come into Zacchaeus' life. Freedom to actually become the person he was meant to be. Freedom to become the pure one. Jesus says, today, Zacchaeus has been set free. Today, greed has been broken. Today, generosity has freed him. Today, he is giving to beauty. Today, he is not losing himself to fear. Today, salvation has come. And then Jesus says this, right? He says about himself. He says, and the Son of Man came to seek and what? Save that which has been lost. So he basically says this to us. If we are Jesus in the story, he's saying, for you were sent to seek and save that which has been lost. And he's saying, here's the kind of life you need to live. Such a generous life that you know you have been anointed, you have been resourced, you're uniquely crafted. You make what you make because you have been, number one, you're gifted and you're smart. And you're uniquely wired to do what you do. But also because God's mercy and his grace and his favor is on you. I have conversations here with people and I am astounded by the amount of creativity, ingenuity, and entrepreneurship that exists here. I am blown away by the compassion and the generosity of this church. There's so many talented people here in the midst of us. I can't believe it. But I want you to know something. You don't have anything that was not given to you. It was all given to you. It was all given to you. You didn't earn anything. Because what we know about why you're in this moment is because God has made a way for you to be here, to watch, to be present, because it's a gift. It's a gift. And he said, so you have been sent to seek out, meaning going through life, giving your attention, your energy, your reputation, your influence to people around you, to causes around you, causes within you. There is a life you need to live that is deep down inside, but if you want to tap into it, you have to tap into, why do I like to give, and what am I going to give my life to? If you figure that out, friends, it's like if you're a college student, hey, that's awesome, but let me just tell you, majors are great and double majors are great and masters and all that. Do that, but figure out what is the cause within you. that you have to tap into. And the sooner you get clarity, the sooner you tap into that, you've just freed yourself to give to creating a beautiful world and not to lose yourself to fear. And so, what does it look like for you? I'm not quite sure in terms of your time and your influence and your attention. I'm not quite sure. But let me just say, for those of you who are going to give to our, you know, our Mosaic's cause, as in terms of raising $50,000, I just want to say that thank you for that. Thank you. And if you're considering doing that and you're thinking, okay, so what is this about again? I've heard this. We're raising $50,000 to put towards two big things. One, to purchase a space back right there that's connected to this building for our next generation. Last year, we wanted you guys to give towards staff for the next generation, and you guys gave. That's beautiful. It's been amazing. You've seen some of these people. They're all amazing people. But this year, we want to give towards purchasing that, and then give towards launching our Metro campus, which is really exciting because I think we're getting so close to actually finding a space as well. I don't want to, not that I don't want to jinx it, because I don't believe that, but we have to make sure that we can announce that, and it's very, very close. Things are really lining up. So that is what we're giving towards. If you're already ready to give, that's awesome. That's awesome. You already know what to do. Some of you might have given online before this weekend. Some of you, you got one of these in and you're like, okay, I'm not sure if I'm ready for this. Here's what you can do. You can give by cash, or you can give a check if you want to. You're thinking, well, I've been already a part of this Hope for All campaign. Like, I've already pledged. Just give towards the pledge. Just give. So if you pledged, if you're one of those that said, hey, I'm going to give in 2 years, we're going to raise $1 million. I know this pledge. I pledged like 10, 15,000 or 5,000. You can just give towards that. Sure. That's fine. But those of you who are like, I don't know. I wasn't here. I don't carry cash. That's all right. That's okay. I don't carry cash either. What you can do is you can give online. So if you have a mobile device, if you go online, it'll actually go to our website, and it'll go to the giving page. You can give by push pay. You can put the amount down, and it's simple as that. You can do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take some time at the end and do that as we respond. Some of you might want to take this and drop it in those bowls that are lit up, and just reminding yourself that this is a act of worship. I know so many of you have given and want to give because it is a sacrifice, but you also know that you're giving to something that's bigger than you. So thank you so much for doing that. I'd love for all of you to participate. All of you to participate. And you're like, Naeem, I don't know. Now, I know I'm being over the top here. I mean all of you. I mean those of you who are watching. We have a give tab there as well. Here's why I want all of you, regardless where you are, high school kid, junior high, college, it doesn't matter the age and stage of life. It doesn't even matter the amount, okay? It does not matter the amount. One of the reasons is that if you might go, man, I can give a buck. That's fine. Or some of you guys go, I'm gonna give 20 bucks, but that's not gonna matter. I mean, 50 grand we're gonna raise. Some of you thinking, man, I want to give more, but I can only do 200. Oh, I can only do 1,000. Here is what's great. What's great is that because of the generosity of a couple that have been a part of Mosaic for a long time, they're going to match up to $50,000 of what comes in. So today, your money is doubled. So you're thinking, I can only give 10 bucks. No, sir, you're going to give 20. Because it'll become 20. So if you go, I can only give 1,000, good, that's fine. Because right now, they're gonna match it. They're gonna match it. So if we just say, if we just give, if we all collectively give and it becomes $50,000, it's gonna be $100,000. And this is not that we're gonna give bonuses to our staff and go on vacation. No. We're not doing that. This is for hope for all. This is for our, for expanding our space here, and it's for creating a community over there. That's what it's for. So, this is a great moment, and I'd love for you to participate. You know how to do it. Let me pray for you, and then we'll respond. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for what you're going to do, God, as we sacrificially give towards, God, this cause, this big idea to be the light of the world. God, thank you that as we're giving towards this glow offering, we get to participate. It doesn't matter what amount. We get to participate and say, God, we want to just give towards and do our part towards being the light, being the epicenter of hope, not just in this area and this space, but also, Lord God, around globally, but also also locally in the metro, Charlotte metro area. God, thank you that there is power and when we come together. And God, thank you for the generosity of people. That God, as today, we have the opportunity to give, in one sense, twice as much as we thought we would, because it's being doubled. God, thank you so much for this. God, I'm so grateful for what you're doing among us. And thank you, God, I just pray this. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of some people who love to give of themselves. Father, would you anoint them? Would you speak to them? And good Father God, for those of us who are trapped in fear and anxiety, those of us who have lost ourselves to that, this morning in Jesus' name, we just say and we just pray that God, they would move towards light, that they would not listen to the voices of doubt and despair in their lives, but God, they would move towards your voice. You are the good shepherd. You call us by name, not of who we are, but who we could be, who we were meant to be. So God, use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.